Let's go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
And it's your PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week here, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And Pat, 22 events so far on the PGA Tour this season, and we have seen 20 different champions. Tiger Woods is the only multiple winner now 5 months into the year. Flip side of the coin, after a dozen LPGA tournaments, we've seen only 4 different women winning. Lorena Ochoa has taken half of them. She's got 6 wins. Annika Sorenstam has won 3 times. Paula Kramer's won twice. So Annika, Paula, and Lorena have accounted for 11 of the 12 victories so far. Which do you prefer, parity on the PGA Tour that we're seeing so far this year, or the domination that we're seeing on the LPGA Tour?
Well, I think we could probably couch it in different terms. I'm not sure if it's domination to some extent, because Ochoa is winning a lot, majority of these events, but it's more of a, you know, would you rather see 20 different winners, or would you rather see 3 ladies basically battling it out every week on the LPGA Tour? I kind of am leaning towards the LPGA this year because these players have so many different things going for them. Ochoa, still relatively young, but has clearly established herself as the number one player in the world and the player on the ladies tour and the player to beat. Annika, even though she's retiring at the end of this year, still trying to you know, grasp whatever greatness she can in the last 6-7 months of the LPGA Tour, and obviously would like to go out beating Ochoa a few more times just to give her a little, hey, I might be quitting, but don't forget I was the best of all time, or at least of this era. And Paula Kramer, young, up-and-coming, finding her way, figuring out ways to win now, and maybe being the future challenger with Ochoa, and that maybe becoming a two-person race as the years goes on with Annika leaving. So you're seeing sort of the beginning of what could be a great rivalry with Kramer and Ochoa going forward, and then you still have Annika in there battling these last few months, sentimental favor probably, but still at the top, you know, at near the top of her game, enough to give both of these players a battle every week. So that's from an interesting standpoint. I think that's better than, you know, Joe Blow of the week winning, you know, the PGA Tour event. Tiger with the injury, Phil, VJ, Retief, Ernie Els, all getting older, not really quite up to par. Phil, to some extent, still is, but those other guys sort of falling off of the big five. So now we're kind of in this vortex, Russ, where we're waiting to see Anthony Kim or whoever it's going to be, and the next young guy step up and start, not necessarily to challenge Tiger, because I don't think that's realistic, but to step up and to become sort of that Tom Watson to Jack Nicklaus, somebody that's going to win 3 to 7 majors
right.
in the Tiger era, that's going to, again, maybe not be able to compete against him on a week-to-week basis, but at least be able to beat these other guys with some regularity. And that's what I think we're waiting to see on the PGA Tour.
Well, you know, the only reason that we're not talking about domination on the PGA Tour with Tiger is because he's been gone for 6 weeks with the knee surgery. And, of course, we also got the news that he won't be teeing it up at Jack's tournament next week in Dublin, Ohio at the Memorial. But, you know, in a regular season and later on this year, you get both on the PGA Tour because you get the domination from Tiger Woods, and then you got all the young first-time winners as well. So I think you get both on the PGA Tour because Tiger dominates. He's already won 3 times this year. He's the only multiple winner so far on the PGA Tour season now, 5 months in. Two things I think I take from this kind of dichotomy that we're seeing this season between the 2 major tours. First of all, the PGA Tour, in my opinion, is deeper than the LPGA. There are probably 100 men in the world, maybe even more, with enough talent to win a PGA Tour event on any given week. Now, on the LPGA Tour, I think that number is probably like 25 or 30. I think a big reason is because talent pool. I think there are a lot more men playing golf. There are a lot more boys playing golf growing up. So, therefore, it just makes sense. Numbers-wise, the talent pool is much greater. So, there's that many more men, you know, that are playing golf today that could theoretically win a PGA Tour event. Second thing is, except for Tiger Woods, the LPGA's elite players are more dominant, comparatively speaking, than those on the PGA Tour. And you mentioned it just a couple minutes ago. Phil Mickelson, Adam Scott, Jim Furyk, Sergio Garcia. If you want to add Ernie Els, he won at the Honda a couple months ago. You know, they used to be more dominant than they are now. I think it's a little bit of both. Their games might be receding a little bit. The rest of the rank-and-file players on the PGA Tour might be upping their game. So, you know, Phil, Adam Scott, Jim Furyk, Sergio, they're not as head-and-shoulders above the rank-and-file guys like a Ryuji Yamada or a Johnson Wagner or a DJ Trahan. All 3 of those, by the way, who have won so far this year. Then, you know, Lorena Ochoa, Annika Sorenstam, Paula Kramer, the big three. Let's not forget Suzanne Pedersen. At some point, she'll win this year, and we'll start talking about her as well. They're head and shoulders above girls like Erica Blassberg and Sherry Steinhauer and Wendy Ward more so than the Med. As for me, I like dominance. I think dominance is fun to watch, but and it's also important to watch and witness for historical reasons, because, you know, what we're seeing from Tiger is record-setting. What we're seeing from Annika is all-time great. The same thing said for Lorena Ochoa. But it's kind of fun. It's kind of exciting and surprising for, you know, week in, week out to have a different winner here on the PGA Tour, especially all the first-timers, and now nine guys under 30.
No, I agree with you. And like I said, I think that helps maybe project into the future where you see a guy like Ryuji Yamada breaking through last week at the AT&T. After heartbreak the year before that with losing to Zach Johnson in a playoff. So, yeah, you're right. It's great to see younger guys, especially guys that have never won, be able to win a PGA Tour event. And then you want to see if that frees them up in the future to say to themselves, hey, I've won in the past. I know I can do it again. And now I can start trying to reach the next level, which is to be able to be competitive in the majors. And then that's when you really start to see, hey, here comes a guy. I don't know who it's going to be. It could be Anthony Kim. It could be Zach Johnson. It could be somebody that says, hey, I've got the experience. I'm going to take now to the next level. And then maybe you're going to see, as Tiger gets a little bit older, you know, maybe physically, you know, not able to do some of the stuff he can, you'll see guys be able to compete with him. I still think Tiger is obviously going to dominate for another 5 to 7 years, but you'll see some guys get a little bit more confidence with him on the LPGA Tour. I think this is prime time right now. I mean, you've got before Annika leaves, she's still. It's not like she's on some farewell tour. She's
right.
still playing
she's
at a very high
best,
level.
She's the second best player in the world.
And if she was playing more, she might be able to. If she didn't have the injury last year, she might still be able to rival Lorena right now, because she's not, you know, like I said, on some farewell tour at age 48 or whatever, just, you know, trying to cash it in. So this year in particular on the LPGA Tour, I think, is going to be extremely exciting, especially as we go along, get into the majors with them, and, just see what preparation level Annika's, you know, getting into to get ready for the majors. And as you mentioned, the ADT, her last tournament here, that should be, just be a spectacular event. And Lorena is not going to want to back down. She knows this is her last chance, really, to compete against Annika and show her, hey, even though, you know, you're a little bit older than me, I yep. still think I'm the best.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's your PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
All right, Russ, number two goes to you. We mentioned Tiger Woods a lot in that last segment. He did this past Friday not enter into the Memorial Jacks tournament next week. That means he is not going to play in anything for, I think, 8 weeks prior to the U.S. 8 or 9 weeks prior to the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines a few weeks from now, unless he enters into the St. Jude, which I don't think he's going to do. So he's going to come in, again, not playing in any tournaments for 8 or 9 weeks prior to the U.S. Open. He's done this before, but it was under different circumstances with his dad a few years ago dying. He did not play in many events leading up to the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, and obviously first major he missed the cut in at that point, just didn't have anything going. My question to you is, can he win this U.S. Open with this lack of tournament playing time?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm one of the biggest Tiger Woods fans out there, but I just don't think this is a possibility now that he is not going to be playing in the Memorial. And you're right, Pat. He's doing the exact same thing that he did 2 years ago for different reasons. This time it's physical. 2 years ago it was emotional, losing his father. He's going from major to major. You know, the last event he played in 06 before the U.S. Open was Masters. So he went 2 months major to major, misses the cut at Wingfoot. Fast forward 2 years here. The only positive for him is that it's a venue that he's got a lot of good history with. His track record at Torrey Pines is spectacular, so that's a plus. You weigh the differences. You know, he missed the cut at the U.S. Open in 06 at Wingfoot, and he had no physical problems. It was all mental. It was all, you know, he was obviously grieving for his father. What do you think brings him down more? Is it the grief that he was experiencing in 06, or is it a physical ailment and having rust that he's going to have to deal with in 08 here at Torrey Pines? I don't want to try to get into his head, but I think it might be physical. I mean, you know, you can do a lot of things physically when you're still not feeling right mentally. We know he's one of the most toughest players out there, mentally speaking. I don't see this happening. Now, I don't think he's going to miss the cut. I think he'll do better than 06 because he's won at Torrey six times in the freaking Buick, and he plays great there every single year. So because he knows the course so well, because he's got so much good history there, I think he might end up, you know, top 20 possibly in the U.S. Open. But it just, I can't sit here and realistically say that Tiger Woods is going to tee it up for the first time in 2 months in the U.S. Open, the toughest tournament of the year for these guys, year in, year out, and win the thing, especially seeing guys like Phil Mickelson. I mean, Phil Mickelson, in my opinion, is going to win today at the Colonial, and that'll be his second win of the year. He's getting his game set for Torrey, and listen, Phil's from San Diego. He's got a good history there as well, so, you know, it's not a vacuum here. It's not all about Tiger. There's other guys that are going to be teeing up 2 weeks at U.S. Open that are going to be wanting to win that tournament as well.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Russ, with 2 points you made there. Is there a, what's the difference between an emotional drawback going into a tournament and a physical drawback? Obviously, with a physical, you know, depending on where it is, if it's your knee, which it is with Tiger, or your back, or something like that, where it can hinder your swing, that is an issue. Emotionally, though, I don't think you can discount the emotional factor. When you lose your father, you lose somebody close to you, it zaps all of your will sort of to practice and to do the little things that make you mentally tough and are able to get you over whatever humps or doubts or things that you have going into a tournament and while you're playing a tournament. When you don't have that emotional strength with you, I think that almost hurts you more than a physical ailment. The other thing with Tiger is I think he'll take the physical thing and say, you know what, I'm such a superior athlete and superior golfer and the mental aspect is so good with me. I'm going to use this to lull guys into thinking, hey, I haven't practiced been able to play in tournaments, so they're going to all think that I'm not ready to play. I think Tiger's actually going to will himself into a higher level almost of being physically set to play this thing that I don't think the physical part's going to bother him nearly as much as the emotional. So I think he's going to use that, in effect, as a motivational tool to help him. The other thing is, you mentioned his success on this. They don't play Wingfoot, you know, on any kind of a regular basis on the PGA Tour.
Right.
They play Torrey Pines, and like you mentioned, he's got tremendous success. This reminds me a lot of Pebble Beach in 2000, where he played, at that time he was playing Pebble all the time. He had some experience there. He won the AT&T.
And a huge comeback on Sunday by, I think, 6 strokes or something like that.
I think what will happen with Tiger, as opposed to these other guys, is these other guys that especially play Torrey Pines, they're used to Torrey Pines as playing for the Buick Open, and then they get it in a U.S. Open venue, and they're shocked. I think that's what happened at Pebble Beach. They went back to Pebble, and they're like, what the hell happened to the golf course?
Right.
This isn't... But Tiger's able to be like, you know what,
exactly.
I know what the golf course
great
is.
Great point, Pat. 2000, Tiger Woods, he's trailing going into Sunday in the AT&T and the Pro-Am, makes that huge comeback, makes that eagle where it just makes a left turn, goes right in the hole, ends up coming from behind to win. 3 months later, he just totally boat raced the field, wins by 15 strokes.
That's unheard of to do that. I can't believe we're disagreeing on Tiger Woods.
And you're going to say he's going to win.
I will say this. He will have a chance to win this. I don't think it's going to be top 20 or anything. I think Tiger will be in the mix for this thing.
Wow.
And believe me, if he's within a couple strokes on the the last day, throw it in there. He will be ready to win this thing. I just think he'll be out there. He'll be going out to Torrey Pines on clandestine, you know, playing 9 holes here, whatever he's got to do while all these other guys are toiling around at the Memorial or St. Jude's. He'll be out there getting ready for it, and I think he can win it.
Wow, it's the bizarro episode of Golf Exchange. Pat Rooney Jr. is the one rooting for Tiger Woods, and I'm the skeptic here.
You are the skeptic of his abilities.
Are you going to start cheering for the Gators as well, Pat? What's going on?
That's a little bit of a reach, Chris.
All right, well, I will say this. If Tiger Woods wins the U.S. Open in 2 weeks at Torrey Pines after taking 2 months off, if he goes from major to major and wins the U.S. Open, the hardest event of the year, year in, year out on the PGA Tour, can we all anoint him as the best ever at that point? I think he's already there.
But I mean, that would just add to the fable.
The legacy, right. That was your PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, as you do each and every week here on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. It's brought to you, of course, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Have you ever watched a golf tournament on TV and wondered how you would do on the course the pros play? It can happen at PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. You can play the PGA Tour's third toughest course, a wonderfully fiendish layout designed by the Golden Bear Jack Nicklaus. The Arnold Palmer design course and the three other courses are just as devilish. PGA National has just been renovated as well, so everything from the entry to the pool area to the lobby, its new hip restaurant, the Ironwood Grill, and the eye bar right there in the center of everything. It's all great. You got to check it out. It's time to experience the legend of PGA National in person, not just on TV. For a customized tune-up and tee-off golf package that includes lessons on the golf course with your instructor, go to pgaresort.com or call 877-742-6285.